Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ganesha Ecosphere Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference call over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to host today's earnings call of Ganesha Ecosphere. We have a leadership team represented by Mr. Gopal Agarwal, CFO, Mr. Prashant Khandelwal, Senior Vice President, Mr. Yash Sharma, Director, Ganesha Ecopet. Without any delay, I would like to invite Mr. Yash Sharma to start his opening comment, post which we will move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Yash.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Manish. Good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for joining us. We are here today to walk you through our Q4 FY26 results and highlighting the key operational and financial achievements, and we'll share the insights on the broader industry and macroeconomic environment which has shaped our performance currently. So the first three quarters were marked by disruptions and uncertainties, particularly around the pending regulation clarity, which created a lot of challenges for us in planning and execution. We are, however, delighted to report that in FY26, we concluded on a high note, reflecting both the resilience of our business model and the agility of our teams in navigating a challenging environment. Both standalone and subsidiary businesses have performed well during the last quarter. In Q4 FY26, the company has made a strong performance with consolidated production numbers of 41,268 tons, which is an increase of 6.45% over Q3 FY26. Sales volumes have also increased to 45,162 metric tons, which is an increase of 12.25% over last quarter's sale volume. The company has clocked a consolidated top line of 423.94 crores, EBITDA of 52.35, and bottom line of 23.21 crores, registering a growth of 18.7%, 70.4%, and 388.6% respectively over the last quarter. The company has earned an EBITDA margins of 12.35% as against 8.6% during the last quarter. On standalone basis, the company has achieved a production of 28,209 tons and sales volume of 29,234 tons, which is lower by 3% and 6% than the previous quarter numbers. Revenue numbers at ₹260.33 crores are lower by around 4.8%. However, there is an improvement of 125 basis points in the EBITDA margins in the standalone business. Growth in top line as well as in margins were contributed by improved demand, stable prices, as well as liquidation of the inventory. On a year-on-year basis, there is an improvement in production and sale numbers at console level, with production up by about 6.4%, revenue up by 23.1%, and EBITDA up by 2.5%. Full-year performance is almost at par with FY25 numbers in terms of production, sale volume, and revenue. However, EBITDA and profitability were hit adversely due to the weak performance of the first 9 months for the reasons discussed earlier. There is a significant improvement in operating cash flow generation, which stood at 170 crore, enhancing our ability to fund the future growth internally. Net debt position has been at ₹375 crores, is also at a very, very comfortable level for us. From a macroeconomic perspective, FY27 has started amidst global volatility. The ongoing Middle East conflict has disrupted supply chains and driven up virgin polymer as well as PET scrap prices, creating significant pressure across the textile value chain. This is impacting the demand for man-made fibers, and the industry struggling to absorb rapid increase in feedstock prices. The situation will improve drastically upon resolution of the conflict, as the inventory levels across the value chain are at very, very low critical levels, and supply pipeline is almost empty. The wait for India's textile industry revival has become really long, first due to US higher US tariffs, and now because of the global supply chain disruption in crude and its derivatives. We expect significant turnaround for the industry once the crude prices normalize and the global supply chain revives. The MOEF issued awaited notification on the March 31st, 2026, clearing the smoke over the adoption of rPET granules and reaffirming the mandatory recycled plastic usage targets. This clarity has removed lingering uncertainty and enhanced industry confidence and has provided us with good visibility and of demand. Strategically, we have taken decisive steps to strengthen our capacity and product portfolio. We have commissioned a 22.5 KT brownfield expansion of rPET chips at Warangal, with ramp-up expected by Q2 FY27. We are pleased to share that we are also pursuing another 22.5 KT expansion and debottlenecking projects to push the installed capacity to nearly 1 lakh tons by FY27. We have also decided to drop the Odisha Greenfield project for now, which was originally intended to take our aggregate installed capacity to 132,000 metric tons by FY27-28. However, our Warangal facility alone is set to reach nearly 100,000 tons by the end of the current financial year, with much more lower and efficient capex. Alongside building this milestone, we are actively planning for future expansions with a strong focus on enhancing utilization levels and boosting the overall productivity of our operations. On the product side, we are having a strong visibility of demand for the rPET granules during FY27, with significant improvement in capacity utilization level of existing as well as enhanced capacities. Our filament yarn has successfully qualified with a leading global textile brand, and we expect to steadily improve utilization rate in this segment as well over the next 3 to 6 months' time. This milestone is particularly significant as it demonstrates the acceptance of our sustainable products by global leaders, paving the way for stronger export potential and long-term relationships. At the same time, we remain cautious on the RPSF in spun yarn, where demand has slowed due to geopolitical disruptions and the substantial increase in pet scrap prices. But we are confident that our diversified portfolio and focus on high growth segments of subsidiaries will continue to drive the momentum. The combination of regulatory clarity, capacity expansion, product qualification with global brands, and rising industry adoption of rPET products has positioned us strongly for FY27 and beyond in achieving sustainable growth targets. With this, we are ready to take the questions which you may have. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Meet Gada with Sanghvi Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the team for having the prudence to switch from this greenfield to brownfield expansion, considering the evolving business dynamics. My first question to you is that what kind of supply additions have you witnessed in the rPET capacities and licenses being provided by FSSAI from the start of FY27? And also, if you could touch upon the demand scenario and the supply-demand gap, how is that seen by the customers?
Thanks. So, see, the current FSSAI approved capacity has grown to about 280,000 metric tons as of today. And there are also pending FSSAI applications as of today to the tune of about 1.5 lakh metric tons as we speak, which also includes our brownfield expansion as well. As of today, the demand for rPET looks extremely robust and strong, as after the mandate has been cleared by the MOEF and again has come out with the final notification, all the global brand owners and national brand owners have shown aggressive interest, and we have had good commitments and interest from them to supply rPET to them for the full year of FY27.
Thank you. My second question would be that how much further brownfield capacity addition or debottlenecking can be done at your Warangal plant, and will it be sufficient to offset the 40,000-45,000 ton impact due to the shift in strategy?
No, so we are putting we have already put up the line of 22,500 ton, and we are putting another line of 22,500 ton, which would be operational by the Q4 27. So we are adding the 45,000 additional capacity as well, making some debottlenecking. So that would be around 10,000 tons. So total capacity would be around 97,000 and 98,000 tons.
Got it, sir. Got it. And how has the pet scrap availability been post this war, and what kind of extra cost burden do we expect going forward into FY27? So how does it revise the prices or the realizations of market?
The demand of PET scrap is really very high at the moment because of the several applications, including the rPET. That's why the prices of the PET bottle scrap has also increased substantially during last 2 months' time. We are working with our buyers at the cost at the pass-through mechanism, in which we are passing through the increase or decrease in the raw material prices to the buyer.
Sir, if you can quantify in terms of what would be the PET scrap prices now and the realizations we are deriving in our PET?
Currently the rPET price is in the tune of 56 rupees, 55-56 rupees.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for your answering my questions. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dheeraj Ram with 360 ONE Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for great set of numbers. A few questions from my side. First one is, what would be the guidance on EBITDA per kg for standalone business and subsidiary business for FY 2027 and 2028?
Thank you, Dheeraj. Instead of going for the product-wise EBITDA, we are working on the absolute numbers for the year. We are looking for a EBITDA of about 225-250 crore in this year.
Okay. Any EBITDA per kg, sir, or specific EBITDA per kg for standalone and subsidiary?
Because of the several reasons, we are not working on the product-wise EBITDA.
Okay, fine. Sir, any CapEx guidance that you want to say? As per my understanding, you're going to reach almost 90,000 tons-1 lakh tons in your rPET by end of FY 2027. What would be the CapEx for this entirely brownfield?
We have already made the CapEx for this 22,500 line, which is up and operational, and we are waiting for some clearances. For further capacity addition on debottlenecking of about 36,000 tons, we are looking for it. It will be around 150 crore CapEx will be involved.
Okay, got it. This 22,000 tons, 500 tons that got operational, is the FSSAI approval completed or that is going on and might commence in Q1 or Q2 FY 2027?
We have already applied for the FSSAI approval, and we are expecting it, we will get by end of next month.
FSSAI approval will be completed by next month, and then we can expect operational of this plant. Is that right?
The line is operational. Only thing, the approvals we are waiting for. Once the approval comes in, the line will be started full-fledged.
Got it. Any CapEx plans for FY 2028, sir?
We are finalizing the CapEx plan for future beyond this 1 lakh ton capacity. We are sensing these geopolitical situations and the challenges emanated out of this situation. We'll shortly finalize our expansion for the future expansion plan.
Got it. Sir, last question.
One thing we would like to add is this Odisha plant is only the dropping of the location. The plant has not been dropped altogether. The plants are intact. We are adding up the capacity in future also. As of now, we are not going at Odisha.
Got it. Last question, sir. This POY, DTAN, DTYN segment, you have said that last quarter you have onboarded a customer, large one. When can we see offtake starting for them, and what is the expected offtake for them?
See, basically, yes, we had onboarded the brand owner last quarter, by the end of last quarter itself, beginning of this year itself. Due to this whole geopolitical situation, a lot of challenges came in, you know, implementing and commercializing. We have already started the commercialization to a certain extent, as of today, and we are in the ramp-up stage already, so which will take our total utilizations to a good level, going forward in the next 3 months, 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Sir, last question is, your standalone segment guidance, do you still maintain it 9%-10% EBITDA margin, or is there any changes to that guidance?
Dheeraj, that guidance is basically, some challenges are there as of now because of these geopolitical tensions and global war-like situation where all the supply chain has been disrupted badly. And this polyester sector being completely linked with the crude oil and its derivative prices. So challenges are there as of now because of the demand. As the downstream products are not well-posed to take on the price increase. And they are buying the material. They are just liquidating the inventory. So the pipeline is completely empty. So whenever this situation improves or normalizes, the big demand is certain to come. But as of now, the situation is something not very, very optimistic.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Fine, sir. Thank you. And that's all my questions. All the best for future results.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saransh. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on a very good set of results, sir. Sir, to the earlier participant, you said that the pipeline is empty and there is liquidation of inventory going on. So I just wanted to understand with the intimation coming in by MOF regarding the percentage of recyclable, it still sustains, right? So how are we?
There are two things. There are two things. The question was about our legacy business. It is for the polyester staple fiber business. It is not for the rPET business. So.
No, sir. I am trying to understand for the rPET business, like the intimation still sustains that the companies have to be 40% recyclable. So with 280 tons of demand coming in, 280 tons of capacity coming in, so how do we see the demand going ahead and how are the things panning up from the customer's end? Are they shifting? Have we seen incremental orders or inquiries for the same?
So yes, you're absolutely right. Because of the mandate now again reinstated by the MOEF, there is a very high demand in the rPET segment as of today. As of today, we are running at full utilizations of our plant possible, full productivity of the plant possible. And we have increasing interest from the number of players as well as the volumes are growing in the rPET segment for sure. So the rPET currently as of today is we are basically seeing a very, very good demand across the industry.
Sir, how is the demand-supply situation across the industry? Are we at undersupply?
Yeah. If you talk about the current situation, definitely we are at an undersupply because the industry, if you look at the mandate of 40%, which is reinstated for this year, the demand for rPET will be somewhere close to about 4.5 lakh tons against the current supply of about 2.5-2.8 lakh tons. So definitely, there is currently a supply-demand gap and the supplies are lower. But the whole industry is ramping up the supply slowly to cater to the demand.
Is there any ballpark idea where will we be at post 2 years from now in the supply position? How many capacities are coming up?
So as I earlier told also, currently the approved capacity is about 2.8 lakh metric tons from FSSAI, and already 1.6 lakh metric tons of applications are already pending with FSSAI. And in the 2 years' time, I think we will be able to reach a capacity of about 7-7.5 lakh tons overall as an industry.
And so will the demand for rPET increase going ahead with the mandate increase?
Yeah. So the target is in improving manner. So currently it is 40% and will reach up to 60%. So the demand is also expected to be around 9 lakh to 10 lakh tons.
So just last thing, it will be fair to assume that the current rPET prices that are prevailing in the industry, that is the peak.
So see, it is difficult to say basically how rPET prices work is based on the price of the raw material. So whatever bale prices come to, there is a accordingly the rPET prices work out. So it works in tandem with the bale prices.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question comes from the line of Ishan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, congratulations for a great set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, please. Please go ahead.
I understand, sir, the uncertainty and the supply demand gap right now, but can you please give a specific guidance, if you can, for the FY27 or FY28, how will the EBITDA margins be, or how will the bottom line and the top line grow?
So giving any specific number is not possible at this volatile time where the prices are fluctuating like anything. For the long term, we are set to get the top line growth of 20% plus on CAGR basis.
Okay, and as the capacity utilizes, the margins are also going to expand, right?
Yeah.
Got it. And talking about, sir, the Warangal capacity, as you added in that the Q4 should be 70-80% utilization. Was it 70-80%, or what was the number of utilization of the Warangal?
So overall, it was 67% at Warangal facilities, but in case of ARPA, it was about 85%.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Darshika Kemka with AV FinCorp. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I had a major question around the yarn segment. Firstly, what is the price of the raw material currently? As far as I remember, earlier you were mentioning that scrap bottle prices used to be in the range of 45 per kg. As mentioned in the presentation, you have said that it is increased. What is the quantum of this increase, and what is the trend going ahead? And secondly, what would be the impact on the financials of the company going ahead, both in terms of the revenue and the margins and the overall industry situation on the demand shortage?
So you are right. Currently, the scrap bottle prices have increased. It is in the range of, as I told earlier also, it is in the range of 55-56 rupees a kg as of now. Though the range is now stabilized, so the prices are ruling around that level. And so we are in our carpet business, we are able to pass on this price increase to the buyers. So it will not impact the margins. But yes, certainly it will have some impact on our legacy business. But going forward, we are able to manage the things, and we are expecting we will be delivering a good set of numbers despite this increase in the prices.
Okay, and do we expect any impact on the revenue considering the demand situation?
Yes, sir. So the impact will be revenue because the prices are very volatile and very fluctuating. So the revenue numbers are also fluctuating accordingly.
Would you be able to give us probably quantify a number around this? Like an indicative range would also be helpful.
So it is different for our different products. Like it is fiber, it is in the range of 90 rupees to 100 rupees. In the case of RPET, is around 115 to 120 rupees as of now. And in case of the yarn, it is around 150 to 160 rupees. But it is fluctuating.
All right. So can we expect like a 10% negative impact on the yarn segment revenues?
It depends. It depends the how long this global disruptions last. So it depends on all, because the textile sector is hit by this disruption very badly, particularly in case of India.
That's it for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dolly Chaudhary with Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question, just to follow up on a previous participant's question. So
it is regarding CapEx only. So we just mentioned that we are planning for the future CapEx plans. But I want to know, like, directionally, so you also mentioned that maybe 2 years down the line, the demand supply may match in the industry as new capacities will come. So if we are planning for CapEx for after maybe financial year 28, 29, so will it be in the same rPET sector, or maybe we are planning for a new ancillary products going down the line? Because maybe the margins will also not stay competitive when the competition will come. So I wanted to get your view on that.
Sorry, could you repeat the question? Sorry.
So I was just taking a follow-up on a previous participant, CapEx plans of our company. So maybe this year we are coming with brownfield expansion that you just mentioned, but maybe 2 years down the line, when demand supply may match in the industry as mandate is already out, and maybe this will, like, really directionally move in the same product segments only going forward, or we are planning for some new product segment also as new capacities will come in this space?
Sure. So see, I think as of today, at least for the next 4 to 5 years, it will take for the rPET industry to grow and settle down at its pace, because you see, in India, the consumption of beverages and the consumption of PET is also growing at a very, very good rate. And you know, as the consumption and as the usage of PET grows, the demand for rPET is also gonna grow, also along with the increasing percentage of compliance levels. So I think that going forward, I mean, at least for the next 3 to 5 years, I think the rPET is going to take to reach, you know, the level that it stabilizes, the industry really stabilizes that. Also, you know, what is happening is that in rPET, currently, the good quality or the high quality suppliers who are able to sustain the operations at a good level are also very, very few. Not everyone is able to do that, which really differentiates us from the other suppliers in terms of consistency, quality, and everything. So I think we're in a very good position, given current scenario in the overall rPET industry development. As of looking at the other products, definitely, I think we are also currently trying to work out on the different products as well, which will become the growth engine for the company in the future.
Okay, so but the new segments will get clarity more maybe going forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That will be all, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Naheem Patel with Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for this opportunity. So I had two questions regarding CapEx itself. So the first was around, like, considering we have a temporarily dropped Odisha project, have we considered setting up plants in states where there are, you know, GST incentives or any such thought process in the pipeline?
So basically, you see, the Odisha project was greenfield project, and it would take 1.5 to 2 years time in installing and get it operational. So instead, we gone for this expansion of brownfield expansion of Warangal plant, which is where we are able to ramp up the capacity faster and with much lower CapEx. So we will certainly go for the other locations and plant. We are discussing internally. We are also watching the geopolitical situation, as well we are working with our supplier for the suitable location. So we will finalize the same.
Understood. And just to clarify, like, I'm talking about in the longer term, as you have said in the previous participant's question as well, that rPET industry will take couple of 5 to 6 years to normalize. So do you see that, you know, in longer term, recycling plants have to set up their facility next to packaging companies or brands? Like, have we ourselves considered doing some form of JV with the bottle plants? Is there anything?
So we are working on several permutations and combinations, including the JV, including the putting of the plant nearer to our market. So we are working on various alternatives.
Understood. Okay. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Ankur Gulati with Genuity Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, in Q4, for rPET, your average realization as per disclosed number is 103 rupees per kg. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct.
Your EBITDA per kg is roughly 19.80 rupees. Just want to confirm the numbers.
Sir, your voice is very low. Can you please come up?
Your EBITDA per kg is 19.80 rupees for Q4 recycled PET. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes, sir. For the subsidiary business, it is correct for subsidiary business. Okay.
Yes, perfect. Now, can you give me the exact capacity for recycled, which was active in Q4 for rPET business? The capacity which we can sell to external parties, not the backward integration tonnage, but the end product capacity.
Yeah. So our end capacity, in which segment you are asking? We are having three segments. We are in the yarn, we are in the fiber, we are in the rPET.
rPET, sir.
rPET. So currently, we are having the capacity of 64,500. Out of 42,000 is up and operational. 22,500 is waiting for the approval from FSSAI. And we are adding further capacity and capacity of around 33,000 tons with debottlenecking as well as the new line. So it would be around 100,000 tons by the end of this year. And this is entirely for the outside sale.
Sir, sorry, just one clarification. Maybe I don't know the details, but if your rPET is 45,000, then the subsidiary sale was 15,900. So what else gets classified in the subsidiary tonnage other than rPET?
It is the installed capacity. Installed capacity and the actual capacity utilization was much lower because of the disruptions over the glass and the opaqueness of the regulations and all those things. So we could not sell the much quantum in the first three quarters.
No, sir. 45,000 is annual capacity. In one quarter, this quarter, we did 16,000 roughly, which means annual.
Yeah. So sorry, I'm sorry. There are other products also. There is fiber, there is yarn, other products also. So we roughly sold the we sold roughly 11,000, about 11,000 tons of the rPET.
Can you give me the other fiber and the other third product also?
It is not 16,000 tons.
Sir, 16,000 tons is your.
Gopalji, in last quarter, we did a good sale of even a stock also. We released the stock in last quarter for rPET.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. But our overall sale was, yeah, 45,000 tons.
Yes, sir.
No, in.
Consolidated sale was 45,000 tons. So including 29,000 tons from the, yeah, 16,000 tons for our subsidiary businesses, which includes the yarn, fiber, and rPET.
Sir, जो subsidiary का 15,900 है, उसमें rPET, fiber और yarn का split दे सकते हैं tonnage में? 11,000 आपने बोला rPET है, fiber और yarn.
11,000, to be very precise, it was about 11,500, and that is the fiber and yarn.
Fair enough. और इसमें last quarter का थोड़ा सा spillover था, तो steady state में एक quarter में कितना sale होगा इन तीन का मिला के tonnage wise?
हमारी एक line और चालू होने जा रही है, तो उसका भी आएगा थोड़ा सा.
वो Q2 के end पे आ रहा है, 22,500.
Q2 में हो जाएगा. अभी we are expecting कि we will get the approval by end of this next month, June.
तो last quarter से इस quarter में कितना spillover हुआ था, ये समझा सकते हैं? ये number होगा आपके पास tonnage में?
Yes, we produce about 8,500 tons.
Extra, right? Okay. जो आपने 220-250 crore EBITDA guidance दिया, उसके underlying tonnage assumption दे सकते हैं for standalone business and subsidiaries? कितना tonnage आप बेच पाएंगे?
Basically, it is not possible for us to give the product-wise tonnage, but overall, it would be around 100-300,000 tons.
150 of which, sir?
150-160,000 tons total sale.
दोनों standalone and subsidiaries दोनों मिला के?
Yes.
ये थोड़ा सा हेल्प करेंगे क्योंकि इस क्वार्टर 45,000 किया और आप 150 बोल रहे हैं, तो दैट मींस क्वार्टरली रन रेट कम हो जाएगा, राइट? इस क्वार्टर में टोटल 45,000 10% सेल होगा। सबसे स्टैंड अलोन बिजनेस जो है वो फ्लैटिश रहने वाला है, तो जो 20,000 का ग्रोथ है वो सारा सब्सिडरी में आना का एक्सपेक्टेशन है,
सब्सिडरी में आएगा सारा ग्रोथ।
ओके, तो इस साल आपने सब्सिडरी में बेचा 47,000, विच मीन्स F27 में आप लोग मोटा मोटा 65,000 to 70,000 टन बेचने का एक्सपेक्टेशन है आपका, तो सब्सिडरी में भी 80,000 से 1,00,000 टन तक के आसपास फॉर ये फाइनेंशियल ईयर 27 की बात है, करेक्ट?
करेक्ट।
ओके, थैंक यू।
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chirag Jain with Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good results. My first question is, so sir, despite reaching around 85% utilization in subsidiary, 85-67% utilization, our margins are 19-20% for 4Q. It hasn't reached the 24% level that we used to clock in FY25. Any color on that? And
your voice is very low. Your voice is not clear.
Okay. I'll repeat my question. I was asking, our utilization level in subsidiary 67% for 4Q, right?
Right.
For and our margins are 19-20%. And if I look back, it was 24% level that we used to grow in FY25. Any color on that? Like, is this the new normal, like 19-20%, or there is a scope for expansion?
Yes, yes. So earlier it was 25-26%, but the volume was very low at that time, and it has come down.
Okay, so volume has come down. I was asking if 19-20% is the sustainable margin, there is no expansion from here on.
Yes, we hope so. We hope so, sir.
Okay, another question I have is,
I'm sorry to interrupt, Chirag, I would request you to please use your handset.
Okay.
So standalone utilization level will go down, like sir you just said, and so margins will also be getting down for next 1-2 quarters.
Utilization level will go up. It is not going down. Yes, sir. It will go up. Yeah. Standalone, it is almost 100% level.
Okay, but the textile.
There may be some downtrend there because of the current situation, but okay. Long term we are not we would be doing it 100%.
Okay, and margins will also get impacted for like few quarters because of whatever is happening.
Yes, for standalone business, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was my question.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Parth Agarwal with Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have just a couple of questions. One was considering that our RPET prices would be, much cheaper than virgin PET. Is that understanding correct? Hello.
So currently, the RPET prices are slightly lower than the virgin PET prices, correct?
Got it. And this is after accounting for the price increase of PET scrap, which is at 56-55 rupees/kg, right?
Right.
Okay. So considering that we have done like 19-20 rupees/kg EBITDA in the subsidiary business, what is, and considering we are already running at almost full utilization in the RPET chips business, what is the kind of EBITDA/kg we are looking at right now?
So it is a blended EBITDA, and we are looking for to maintain that EBITDA. It is a blended EBITDA for our subsidiary business, and we are looking for to maintain the same, yeah, going forward also.
So last year, same quarter last year, we were at like 28 rupees/kg. So is that the number which is, does not look achievable right now?
Yes. Yeah, is that since the margins has come down.
Got it. Okay. And, secondly, just a last question. So considering our brownfield expansion that we're doing in FY 2027 and existing capacity, what is the peak revenue potential that we can achieve from our current capacity, assuming that we are running at optimal utilization?
So, with the total plant capacity at Warangal, we are looking for top line about 2,300-2,500 crore.
Okay, got it. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Bharat Gulati with Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a question. Understanding, I couldn't understand when you say that capacities after this 22,500 expansion will go to 100,000. The math sits at 87,000. So can the 13,000 delta be explained? I'm just not able to understand that.
So we are making some debottlenecking at the plant. Some additional capacity being choked, so that capacity will be released. About 10,000 in capacity will be released because of that.
So, sir, would it be fair to say that 42,000, only 32,000 is currently utilizable? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, okay. Got that. And, just trying to understand the gross margins for the subsidiary, you know, that's taken a sharp hit, year-on-year. Do we see this be a new base for the gross margins, or can we see that recovery of 45% coming back in terms of subsidiary gross margins?
Yeah. So, subsidiary gross margins basically depends on the raw material prices and the sale prices. So, basically, it is a completely pass-through mechanism, as of now. So, but in the last year, it was disrupted. It was most of the time, it was spot sales. So that's why it was higher.
So just trying to understand, should we consider this as the new base for FY 2027, or should this revive back to the 45% EBITDA gross margin levels?
It, so it. Yeah. Yeah, yes, please.
I think the right way to look at it is not from the gross margin, but rather the EBITDA levels. So, how our business is structured is that across both textiles as well as packaging, our gross EBITDAs or the conversions are sort of basically how it operates in. So the gross margins might, you know, change depending on the price levels of the feedstock and the finished product, but the conversions or the EBITDAs are what stays more consistent. So you should, it's the right way to look at it from the EBITDA point of view. Yeah.
Let me put it in that way then. Should this be the new base for EBITDA or for FY 2027, and from here, we should see a sequential uptick? Or should the YOY numbers start to come, should the FY 2025 kind of EBITDA start to show back in our numbers?
No, so we are looking for the EBITDA, which we have earned in the Q4.
So just to understand, should we see an uptick in it sequentially, or should this be the base for FY 2027?
So in terms of absolute numbers, obviously there will be uptick as more capacity comes online and the utilization improves.
No, I mean per kg, of course. Per kg.
Yeah, that should be very, very similar. That should be very, very similar.
Got it. Got it. And just in terms of cash flows, you know, we've generated about 120 OCF to EBITDA, 120%. Should this kind of cash flow conversion continue? And, you know, what has caused this huge cash flow improvement in terms of conversion?
Yeah. So we are trying to manage our working capital operations very, very efficiently. And our target is to get at least 70-80% of the EBITDA to convert into cash flow. This year we got some release of our subsidy, so this EBITDA margin, so this cash flow is better. But going forward also we are looking for 70-80% conversion of the EBITDA into cash flow.
Okay. That's very helpful, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harsh Saraswat with Sujan Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Hello. Sir, I wanted to ask if you could establish what was the situation without EPR norms and what it will be after EPR, you know, has been implemented. Asking from a long-term perspective of 2 to 3 years at least. Because I can understand the short-term volatility in the prices and everything, but what would be the long-term play here?
Last year basically what had happened, although the regulation was there, but last year in between, in June basically, the government had come out with a draft notification that they would be delaying or basically giving carry forward of the current year's mandate to the future years. So because of that, what had happened was that last year, you can say it was as good as, new mandate being there, and the consumers, the brand owners had started delaying the usage of the RPET content. Because of which, our expired contracts did not renew, and the offtake of the RPET took a major hit. But since this year starting itself again, since the clarity has started coming in, the brand owners had started offtaking the material from the year beginning itself. And since after in March end, when the regulatory clarity again came through, we are seeing a very, very good, increase in the demand going forward. And I think we'll be able to utilize our full capacities going forward, with good set of numbers for our RPET business.
So overall, the sentiment would have changed positively in a much larger way now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why we were able to, have a very, very good sale numbers in the first quarter as well.
Also, could you quantify the current virgin PET versus RPET spread, and how was it in March, and has it declined after that, or is it at the same prices, or it has gone up? What is it?
So, in fact, today, because of the geopolitical conditions, the virgin prices are slightly higher than the RPET prices. So today, the spread, which used to be earlier at around plus 10, between 10 to 12, 15 between RPET and VPET, today it's about minus 5 between RPET and VPET.
Okay, and can you quantify per kg if it is possible?
Yeah, per kg. So basically the virgin prices today are in the range of 125 to 130, whereas the RPET prices are in the range of 118 to 125.
Okay, got it. And on the demand side, so brand offtake has started. There is no issues in that, from that part, right?
Correct.
Okay. So overall, I think the industry is looking up for next 2-3 years where your demand will definitely outpace the supply. That is what I am trying to watch.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah, we think so that will happen.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much and all the best for the future.
The next question comes from the line of Yash Anand. Please go ahead.
Hi. I hope I'm audible. Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, hello.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. So my question was, at peak utilization, what asset turns do you expect in RPET granules? And secondly, ROE and ROC range should investors underwrite for the RPET capex once stabilized? What should be the ROE, and ROC range should investors underwrite for the RPET capex once it is stabilized?
So it is the asset turn is about 1.25 to 1.35 like that, 1.25 times to 1.35 times of the capex, and overall Warangal business we are looking on long term basis, we are looking for the ROC about 17-18%.
Okay, and this will be higher when the MOS regulation that is now 30 to 40% will scale up to 50 and 60%, right?
No, it will not depend on the regulation quantum targets, but it will depend on our capacities and the utilization of the capacities.
Okay, so going forward for this meeting this demand front, you will be expanding your capacity, and the asset turn on that would be, sir, if you can give any idea.
So the asset turn is in the range of 1.25 times to 1.35-1.40 times.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Kunal Bhatia with Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to know, considering the current demand and supply mismatch, especially in case of the RPET business, for the next year, considering that few capacity ramp up would come in, what is the maximum kind of volume we could achieve for FY27?
As we have mentioned earlier, the total volume would be in the range of 180 to 200,000 tons.
Yes,
you are telling me something.
The total volume we are looking at for the next year, for the current year, will be between 180 to 200,000 metric tons of total volume. In the RPET capacity would be about 100,000 metric tons, and we expect that we'll be able to achieve somewhere around 85,000 tons of volume for this year.
Not for this year, because the capacity will come in stages.
Correct.
Next year.
I was just trying to understand what would be the best case scenario in terms of the volume that could be we could deliver for FY27, considering the demand supply mismatch in the industry per se.
We have told it is 180,000 to 200,000 tons. It is the range in which we will deliver the quantity this year overall.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chaitanya Gada with ANG Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So my question is that the future capacities that are coming, do you enter into a pre-capacity tie-up with the customers? And if yes, then at some pre-agreed prices or some pre-agreed commercials?
Could you repeat?
The new capacities that are coming up, which will come online this year, do we go for pre-booking of capacities with the clients on some commercial arrangements?
Not like pre-booking. So how it happens is that as the new capacities come online, we get the approvals from the brand owners, and then the utilization starts right away. So yes, we have ongoing discussions with a lot of customers to ramp up our the supply of the products to them for the year.
Okay, got it. And one last question: the legacy business of ours, do you think it's going to eat up some margins of ours and cash flows from the RPET business as a whole?
On short term basis there might be some impact, but on the long term it will not be eating up the profits of the our overall business. So considering that, we have given the guidance of over 225 to 250 crores EBITDA for this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vibhor Talreja with Nest Amplifier. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, the RPET business benefit of margins because of this inverted spread would only be visible for 10, 15, 20 days or maximum a month in the March numbers. And this would have only increased. So while we have done 52 crores EBITDA, the Q1 EBITDA should be significantly more given the spread is now significantly more in favor of rPET. Is that the right way to think of it?
So, not really. How it works is that our rPET pricing depends on the bale prices. And how we work with our customers is that we have an understanding of supplying the rPET volume and the price with the bale prices, with the bale price conversion cost. So it is kind of not dependent on the virgin price. Yes, what does happen is that when the virgin prices stay at the higher side, the overall demand is slightly higher, but it doesn't impact much on the price of the rPET really.
Okay. That's clear. And the second question is more on the RPSF side, where the pricing is at a discount to the virgin PSF. Even there, again, given that the PSF has increased so much, there should be a volume push for our RPSF side, or am I missing something? Because I heard that the 100% capacity utilization in standalone may not remain the same, and there may be margin pressure on that business.
Yeah, currently there is a pressure on the prices because of the increase in the feedstock prices, and the textile industry is not in a position to absorb the cost because of the demand is lower at downstream products.
Understood, sir. But the increase in size of PSF vis-a-vis RPSF must be even higher, right?
Yes, the prices have increased. The prices have increased of RPSF also in tandem with the virgin PSF. But industry is not in a position to absorb the price hike. And so the demand has come down.
No, demand expectation, I understand, but the margin should not be a pressure in RPSF, right? Because our raw material pricing has only increased 20%.
Yeah, but if the demand shrinks and we have to curtail down our production to some extent. So it affects the ultimately bottom line.
It affects. That's very fair. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Ajmera with IGE India. Please go ahead.
Hello. With increase in the virgin PET price, are we in a position to increase our conversion margin going forward?
So it doesn't work really. It doesn't really work like that, sir. It works on a very long-term understanding with the customers. So we have been working on a very similar understanding for a long time. So it really works like that. And the virgin fluctuation, whether it is up or whether it is down, it keeps on changing throughout the year. We cannot really bet on what the crude oil prices are going to be 1 month or 15 days or 2-3 months down the line. So what we work on is very ethical and a transparent mechanism for the rPET linked to its raw material rather than the crude.
Okay. And because of the policy push now, on the demand side, the earlier offtake was not there, and now you have a good visibility of offtake. So why we are canceling that Odisha project when you see the demand visibility is there?
So, sir, basically, see, the demand visibility is definitely there. We are basically now wanting to change our expansion plans more strategically to a more strategic location than Odisha. So we will be finalizing our expansion plans going forward as this whole geopolitical tensions calm down and we get more better clarity from our customers as to the strategic location of the expansion should be. So and we are now currently going forward because any new greenfield project, the capacity actually comes alive 1.5-2 years down the line and not immediately. So that was the reason that we shifted it to brownfield expansion so that we could get our capacities live much more faster.
Okay, apart from brownfield, anything have you planned for the, as you said, faster capacity expansion? Brownfield has a limitation only.
So yes, sir. We are already currently right now in the discussions of finalizing our future expansion plans.
Okay. I think he's asking for the brownfield. So brownfield is we have already planned, and we, as we are told, we are going to ramp up the capacity to increase the capacity by about 97,000 to 100,000 tons by the end of this year.
Yeah. My question was the on the greenfield beyond brownfield, because that has a limitation. You can't expand beyond certain capacity on brownfield.
Yeah, so definitely for greenfield project, it takes a much longer time for establishing the unit and operationalize the plant.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. As we conclude today's discussion, we want to thank each of you for your continued trust. Despite challenges in the macro environment, we have delivered resilient performance and positioned ourselves for sustainable growth. On behalf of the entire leadership, we extend our gratitude for your engagement and support. Together, we look forward to building an ever stronger and sustainable future. Thank you. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.